Okay.
That's a warning. Okay, I want to welcome everyone to the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors on Wednesday, May 13th, 2026. May we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Director Austin, absent. Director Joyce Sunnison?
Here.
Director Villa?
Here.
Vice President Rose?
Here.
And President Gibson?
Here. Okay, and let's rise for the flag salute, please.
Hand over heart, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And let's see, I would appreciate it, and the board would, if everybody could silence their phone or turn it off, whatever the case may be. And I want to remind the board, if our phones aren't turned off, then I'll stop the meeting for a second. So, okay, let's look at agenda review. Does anyone want to make any changes to the agenda?
I have none.
Okay, so I'll entertain a motion to pass the agenda as is.
Make a motion that we pass the agenda as written.
Second. We have a first and a second. Roll call.
Vice President Rose?
Yes.
President Gibson?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
And Director Villa?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, and now we'll take time for public comment for items not on the agenda tonight. So any items that are not on the agenda. Okay, and seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board and we'll listen to our special presentations and reports. And first we have Deputy Hernandez or Commander, sorry.
That was a nice promotion. Hi, good evening. My name is Anthony Hernandez. I'm a sergeant with the Sheriff's Office here at the Oceano Station. Just a quick rewind. Over the last April 1st through April 30th, there were 242 calls for service. In 2025, we had 376.
Wow.
The calls ranged from assaults, disturbances, burglaries, thefts, vandalisms, mail thefts, assist other agencies, and suspicious circs. Primarily, we saw 28 disturbances, and those included 5 reports. We had 2 misdemeanor assaults. We had 1 grand theft, 2 petty thefts, a mail theft, 2 vandalisms, and suspicious circs related to individuals. Overall, we had 27 arrests, including warrants and citations. Any questions?
Not from my.
Nope.
Anyone?
Okay. Nothing.
I think we're good then.
Alrighty, thank you for your time tonight.
Okay, thank you, Sergeant Hernandez. Okay, and I don't see Fire Chief Hallett here, and so we'll move on to Tony. With our utility systems.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino. All right, so Lopez is currently at 86.9% full, which is 42,979 acre feet. We had 1 sewer system overflow in April, and I'll go over that a little later. And surface water deliveries were just under 49 acre feet. We pumped just under 1 acre foot of water. All right, so we're continuing to still do our daily rounds, weekly, monthly samples, 7 work orders, 12 USAs, 6 customer service calls, 2 after-hours call-outs. Both of them were for shutoffs due to the service lines breaking on the customer side. One was on 14th Street, the 1400 block, and the other one was 4th Street on the 1400 block. We're still continuing to change out meters. We replaced a little over 90 of them in the past 2 months. First of the month equipment runs and startups with the alarm function checks. The Pier Avenue overlay project is almost done. All of the district's utilities have been completed and inspected. Our yearly inspection of our fire extinguishers has been completed. We are still continuing to do fire hydrant maintenance. We had a service line break on Scott Lee. We had a Roy Grandy's Vector support us in the excavation on it because our trailer's still down. Our vacuum jetter trailer's still down. Hopefully, we'll get that back next week. And we replaced the service, backfilled with slurry, and we also paved back the street. The SSO that occurred was at the 1600 block of 13th Street, and this time we had the city of Pismo Beach with their Vector come out and free up the blockage in, the sewer main. We demoed the old generator at Well 8. It took us about five trips of recycling, the cap motor and genset and all the metal that was there at the location. We scheduled a repair of a service line on 16th Street, the 1300 block. Since we scheduled that, we got to excavate with our own backhoe because all the utilities were marked prior to us going out to, replace the line. And we are still picking up trash with 311. We had three tickets. And we completed the lateral hotspots that are still backing up on certain individuals. They'll be part of the CIP for the sewer. Get those replaced, and hopefully we won't have to do any more hotspots on laterals. Any questions?
Yeah, I have a curiosity question. Is it too gross to ask what blocks up a sewer main?
No, it varies. It could be root intrusion to offsets. This one was, a little bit of a lot of wipes with just a little bit of roots caught them. And it just, you know, you figure it's a 1% grade, so it's not a really steep grade for the gravity flow. So it doesn't take much to clog up something if you put too many wipes or, what they consider flushable wipes. I don't necessarily agree with those. They do get caught up and catch more and more debris. Okay. With everything being low flow, you know, it does impact the collection system.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, is that what causes the most clogging, the wipes?
You know, yes, for us, yes, it has been. Tierra Nueva Street, we had two SSOs in the past 15 years on Tierra Nueva. That was all due to root intrusion, and we got that completely fixed. The other SSO we had on Strand was due to roots, and then the other two were due to wipes. So it's almost 50-50 regarding the mains, not the laterals. That and grease, pouring grease down drains is not. That's a big culprit on laterals. So we try to definitely avoid putting grease down the sinks. Because laterals are a lot smaller, a lot less.
I'm just curious, but does this happen on the property or like out of the property? Like most of the stuff that gets stuck?
I would say it's more frequent in laterals.
Which is?
Sewer laterals from each home going to our, sewer mains.
So not actually in that property?
Correct. It's most. So, it's more common from the properties than our sewer system, our collection system, yes. Just because it's smaller sized, a lot less flow. Once it gets,
I don't know if you're understanding what I'm saying.
Okay. Like
if you throw a wipe, right? I constantly throw wipes in my, which I don't. Could be wrong. In my bathroom, in my toilet, and they get stuck. Are they going to get stuck in my property?
Yes.
They're not going to go like somebody else's.
They won't go to somebody else's property.
Or like a public property.
It can make it to our system, yes. It can make it to our collection system. But you got to think about it. Homes are a lot smaller size pipe.
Okay.
So it doesn't take as much to clog up the individual homes or restaurants.
Uh-huh.
It takes a lot more to back ours up than it would a resident.
Okay.
Just because of the size and the capacity.
I put up signs everywhere. Okay, I think that's it for our utilities. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
And we'll go to our administration. Is that going to be Carrie? Thank you.
Thank you, President Gibson, member of the board. Since our last meeting, We've posted our GM brochure. It's on our website, it's on CSDA, and it's on government jobs. So please let anyone you know that's interested to apply before July 17th. That'll be the first review of applications. Other items we've worked on, most of them are in this agenda. We have two budget items. We worked on our third quarter budget and next year's budget, so 2026, 2027, starting July 1st. Coming up, we worked on our investment report. We also put together our list for tax roll. That's included. And those were the main components of our work for the last month. And is there any other questions or any questions regarding those?
Have you received any calls on the position yet?
Yes, and applications, four applications so far.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Awesome. Do they look good?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not evaluating them. I'm not looking, reading. I'm just skimming. But
skimming.
I'm skimming. I'm not going to do, because I'll forget.
Yeah, I know. But just from skimming, sometimes you could tell.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Okay. All right. So we'll open public comment for our staff reports. Anyone have something to say? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. And now we have directors and outside committee reports. And for myself, I have nothing to report. And then we'll look at Vice President Rose.
I have nothing to report.
Okay, and Director Austin is absent, so Director Villa.
I wasn't going to report on this, but so I'm reporting on it now, just from everything I remember. On May 6th, I attended the Parks and Rec Committee meeting. And at that meeting, we informed all the members that we did not receive the grant that we had applied for. And right now, drawing a blank on the name of the grant, but there was a lot of competitors at the county level that had really good projects that kind of outdate ours. So even though ours was pretty cool, I thought, but maybe next year we can get the grant if we apply for it. So that was a little disappointing. We also discussed the fact that we need to seriously look in, do research, and dig into finding other grants so that we can increase our funds for our committee. And we went over, the last thing I believe we did was we went over the preliminary or proposed budget for Parks and Rec, and from the top of my head, I think it was 17,000. I'm sorry, because I wasn't.
No, you're fine.
I
didn't expect you to
memorize the report,
that.
So, 17,000, and so we did, kind of stress to the members that this is not a solid thing, but something that has to be looked at by the board and approved. So hopefully we will get that approved. Also, I think one of the grants that we thought was pretty cool was one that was proposed by one of our committee members that's very involved, Shannon Elementary, Wanda. I always call her Wanda Moss. She is proposing to, she's looking into, and she's gonna be writing the grant for having an arts program for children here, which I thought was pretty cool, here in Oceano at the community center, and it'll be focusing more on the theater arts. So I think that's something that's very needed here in our community, because we don't have that. And I think a lot of kids would love to be part of that. So that was pretty cool. And that's about it.
Thank you, Director Villa. Director Joyce Sunderson?
No, nothing to report.
Yeah, that sounds like that would be a fun opportunity for kids. Okay, anything else? We'll close outside reports and take public comment on outside reports.
We all are waiting for it to go. Good evening, Julie Tacker. And I actually wanted to speak to the Parks and Rec meeting. I was able to listen to the audio on that, and I have, there was an ask from a member of VACO from the audience for funds related to the flag banner thing from Parks and Rec. As you are scrambling for money yourselves for your committee, I find that a little unfortunate that they didn't know that that was the wrong place to come to ask for money from the CSD. But what strikes me odd is that that person is married to a person on the committee. And I felt that a little conflict of interest-y. And I just wonder if the committees are getting the conflict of interest talk about how that works and how even people on committees, not just board members, can have conflicts of interest. And then as I did this with the microphone, I recall seeing one of your meetings at home, and I wanted to ask, there's no space for the legal counsel to give a report, but maybe he has something to say if you'll allow President Gibson. But what made me think about it with the microphone is that he has knowledge about the PEG funds. I don't remember what PEG stands for, but hopefully Oceano's in the running for some new audio equipment, because your meetings are really hard to listen to on the television. So that was it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. All right, so we'll, any more public comment? Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. We'll close public comment, and we are going to next do the consent agenda items, so. The board wants to review those at all. Questions from the board?
Yeah, I reviewed them. I didn't see anything.
We'll take public comment on the consent agenda.
Julie Tacker again. Item 7C, page 10. On the agenda, it says it's, I know this is just a little typo, but it says the meeting held on April 29th. The meeting was actually held on April 26th. And when I go to those minutes, I also listened to that meeting. And I want to thank your staff for being really prompt in providing public records. And when I can't attend, I ask for the audio tape. And I appreciate that they give those to me. Quite timely, in fact. At this meeting, you board members will recall, there was the general manager brochure, you let that go. But the other item had two opportunities for your board to vote. One was on the policies for the banners. The others were for the specific request from VACO for the installation of banners. It was made clear that at the beginning of the item that Director Austin and Director Rose had conflicts of interest or perceived, and that they would be recusing themselves from any discussion regarding the banners, specifically the VACO banners, not the policy. Totally get speaking to the policy. As I listened to the discussion, a lot of it had, it wasn't generic. It kind of came around to the VACO banners. And Director Rose was participating in that. And so the item one did pass 4-0. Yes, we have a policy now. But item two was then continued, or the board took no action, except Director Rose sort of commented at the close of the item, asking the general manager, who I didn't think was going to be at your board meetings, it was going to be legal counsel only, but she asked him if she would or should or would, or she told him maybe, that she would take this information back to VACO. And that's where I think that recusal got blurred. And I think she was speaking as a member of VACO, as a board member at the same time. So those are my thoughts. Maybe legal counsel wants to listen to the tape too, but that part just was a little awkward. Thanks.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else on the consent agenda items? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. If there's no other discussion, I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we accept the consent items as presented.
A second.
A first and a second. Can we have roll call, please?
Director Villa?
Here.
Vice President Rose?
Yes.
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
And President Gibson?
Yes. And now we'll move on to business items. Cassiola.
Thank you, President Gibson, members of the board. The first item under business is item 8A. We're going to actually ask Mr. Maricino to present on this, and it's the consideration of a recommendation to authorize the general manager to solicit bids to replace two valves on railroad in accordance with District Ordinance 2026-01, move forward with the contract documents, and file a notice of exemption pursuant to the California Environmental Quality Act with the San Luis Obispo County Recorder.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino, Utility Systems Manager. So as you know, we had a CIP project over there on Railroad and a few other locations. When the field staff went to do shutdowns to get the CIP changed over, multiple valves broke right there at Railroad. And as we have three water mains that feed that area of Oceano, basically from Air Park down to Strand, all the way to the state parks. And with these valves broken shut, right now it affects the capacity if the demand is really high, whether it's tourism or fire protection. So while that occurred, the initial estimates were over $75,000. So a change order was not in place. To get these repaired, to still feed that side of the community, we did have an insert a valve installed on a live water main, so we can get a shutdown and still feed that side of the community while these valves get replaced. So basically, what we're asking is to go out for an informal bidding, bring back the contractor with the lowest bid, so we can get approval to proceed to get these fixed and replaced. Any questions?
So you anticipate they'd be about 75?
They're gonna be a little over 75,000 because I went out and kind of figured out from different contractors what it would cost, and it wasn't a good thing to do a change order for something over 75,000. Yeah. So that's why we're bringing it back to you.
That's for two valves.
So it's a cross. It's kind of a unique situation. A cross is four valves. Two of them got to get replaced, but when you get in there, usually when they do crosses, they put thrust blocks on there, and the age of all four valves are all the same. So two that are broken. So while you're in there, you're going to be replacing a cross, and the other two, you might as well get them replaced because the concrete's around everything. It's not an easy fix.
Makes sense.
A lot of it's transite. Transite is a push-on pipe that's no longer made. And with that being said, when you put this in, there's some modifications that need to be done for future replacement of the other existing transite.
Okay. Makes sense now. Thank you.
Yeah.
More questions? Okay. I think we'll take public comment on this.
Thank you.
And then if we need your help, we'll call. And close the board down and open public comment, please. Okay, seeing no one, we'll bring it back to the board, close public comment, and any more discussion of this?
No, straightforward.
Yeah.
Needs to be done, thank you.
Okay.
You want to make a motion?
Yeah, motion that we accept the valve replacement amount of $75,000.
Maybe just staff recommendations. We don't know what it's going to cost. We're going to go out to bid to get costs.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, we just got an estimate that it's over 70.
So just approve staff recommendation.
Approve staff recommendation for the valves.
Thank you.
I'll second. We have a first and a second. Roll call, please.
Director Villa.
Yes.
President Gibson.
Yes.
Director Joyce Sennison.
Yes.
And Vice President Rose.
Yes.
A. Tony, you get two valves. Make them last. Make them last. Okay, so business item B, Ms. Cassiola.
Yes. Thank you, President Gibson, members of the board. In item 8B, we have the third quarter review, and now this is for fiscal year we're in, so fiscal year 2025-2026. So I have a presentation, and we're gonna go through each fund. We're gonna go over revenues and expenditures, front-loaded expenses. Those are the expenses that we pay at the beginning of the year, so they look high, but they remain the same pretty much all year. And then I'm gonna go over some line items that have high variances in each fund. And then we have no budget adjustments proposed for this agenda item, but we will just review the high variances. All right, so we'll start in our general fund, and the first fund is the administration fund. So this is where we collect our property taxes. You can see we're coming right in on budget there. Mostly the difference there is because of our interest. In expenditures, you can see they're tracking under budget by about $90,000. We do have a lot of front-load costs in that budget, things like our CalPERS UAL, which is what we are required to pay each year, our unfunded accrued liability. Our permits and fees, we pay MuniCode to put our code all together on the website. We have the district's liability insurance. We have our payment to LAFCO. We also have our membership expense there with CSDA. We also have an annual software maintenance, which is really high, and also our boot allowance. Then there are a couple line items in the administration.
I'm gonna stop the meeting
for
a minute.
No worries.
A phone's going off.
I did turn it off earlier, but I don't know what happened.
Okay. All right, I'm sorry to interrupt you, so you could start wherever you were.
Okay, then a couple line items in the administrative fund that are running high. One is under professional fees. The district actually just updated our website, so now it's ADA compliant, searchable, and translatable. We did that with Doc Access through Streamline. So that was a cost that we just took on this year to make sure we were compliant. Can I ask? Oh, of course.
Translatable?
Yes.
Can you explain that?
So it'll translate it into multiple languages.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really great program.
Wow.
I've seen other districts have it. I think I reached out to Los Sosos and Templeton about it, and they were raving about it, so we went forward with it. And there's also some, I think, new policies through the state that are requiring it, so it's good we got it now, and hopefully it's beneficial to the customers, but I know staff is liking it.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
How much was it?
We were able to negotiate them down, but it at first was going to be a lot because it depends on how many documents you have on your website. Mm-hmm. So at first, the recommendation was take down things, and I was like, that's not what we want to do. Mm-hmm. So we were able to get it down lower. I want to say we're in like the 3,000
a year.
Well, that's not bad. Not
bad, no. Not bad at all.
The first quote was not that great. It was by page, and, you know, we have big contract documents up there.
Exactly. You have a lot.
Yeah, we do. And the last thing we want to do is take down things because people okay, so
great.
That was one item. Another thing under professional fees, staff went under we went through a training course for enhancing team effectiveness, so that also increased that line item. A second line item is under information technology in the administrative budget. So we actually did get a grant through the Rose grant. It was only $2,300, so it didn't cover everything, but we updated our server that hosts all the district's documents and our computers. So that's much faster. So we were able to get that done as well. But you'll see it's a little bit high when you look under information technology.
How often do you have to upgrade servers?
That was the first time we did it while I've been here. We've been working on a very old server, but it's made the world a difference. Yeah, so we're up to date, which is really nice.
Good.
Yeah. Then it's important to remember all these expenditures are then allocated to all the funds, right? And it's through our admin allocation that we adopt each year. And just a reminder what that is for this year, and it's going to be what we recommend in the next year as well. Lighting is 1%, parks and rec is another 1%, facilities 1.5%, water's 60%, sewers 32.5%, and then garbage is 4%. And it's kind of a reflection of how much staff works in each fund. So our next fund is the fire fund. You'll see here, we had a budget this year, even though we divested. That budget was related to the CalPERS UAL we had to pay off for their safety plan. We did that in January. We did a budget adjustment of $89,000, and in the end, it only ended up costing us $180,000. So we were able to save a little there on that budget line item. Next is our lighting fund. You can see the overall expenditures were under budget by about $7,000. Most of our savings are in operating supplies, and that's because we haven't replaced a lot of lights or and poles are, we haven't replaced any of that this year. All right, next is our parks and rec budget. You can see here we're under budget by about $3,800. OPARC met on May 5th, as Director Villa was reporting, and they reviewed this item, and they had no recommendations at this time for the third quarter budget. Next is our facilities fund. You can see here, it looks like we have a huge variance in both revenues and expenditures. And I know we had a comment from the public as well about PEG funding. So the district did receive $93,000 from the county through the PEG. It's Public Education PEG funding grant.
Government.
Thank you. So we did receive $93,000. We've so far received one quote, one from Bill Gaines. Another vendor we reached out is actually the vendor that provided our hearing assistance. They declined, and then I'm waiting on one last to get all the upgrades, which includes new mics, it includes a projector. It's going to be a lot better for us and those watching. So we received that, so you'll see our expenditures are and revenues are much higher because of that grant. And then we also receive more revenues under utility reimbursements because with the new lease with the fire station, or excuse me, sheriff station, We are required to pay, schedule, and if any maintenance needs to be done over there, but then the county reimburses us later. So you'll see the expenditure line and the revenue line pretty much meet up, so, but we are in charge of doing that for them. Then our first enterprise fund is the water fund. You can see here our revenues. We've collected 5 of our 6 cycles because we bill bi-monthly. We're basically right where we expect to be based on our rate increase that took place starting September, but obviously the meeting, the public hearing was in June. And so we're pretty much right on budget where our water rate study thought we'd be, which is a good sign. Under expenditures, front-loaded expenditures each year are always our state water and Lopez water, the big ones there. Other items are memberships, like with Cal Rural Water, and our permit with the county for our encroachment permit. Those always look high, but they pretty much remain the same. And then 2 line items in the water fund that are running high, but we expect to level off, maintenance on structures. Inside that line, we hired our baker. They had to replace a water valve on Paul Place, 2 service lines on Wilmar, and then another angle stock. So that's why that line item is so large. And then under system and parts, we had to replace and rebuild, not replace, but rebuild well 8, the motor there. So that's why that item's so high. Next is our wastewater fund. So the same goes for wastewater as does our water fund, where we just did a rate increase. 4 of our 5 cycles had that new rate structure. And the next one that we're about to bill out will also have the new rate structure. So by the end of next quarter, I believe we'll be back to where the wastewater study that we adopted in June thinks we'll be. But right now, because we had that one billing cycle in this fiscal year that still had the old rates, we're still a little under. We'll be able to review that in our fourth quarter budget in probably July or August. And then under expenditures, we're tracking well under budget. You can see one line item that sticks out is the rent and leases. We had to rent a Vactor to finish our sewer system management plan, where we have to jet 15 miles of sewer each year. So we had to do that in, November and December. So that cost was unexpected, but should level off because we're not renting that anymore. Then under our solid waste fund, you can see the revenues here are coming in higher, and that's for 2 reasons. South County Sanitation Services, the garbage company, they increased their rates, and then we also increased our franchise fees, which we received from them, from 5% to 10%. So you can see it's higher there. And then under expenditures in the solid waste fund, one line item that looks high is trash cans, and that's because we had 2 community groups apply to our Adopt a Can program. So that's why we got those 2 expenses, which is exciting. And then with that was our last expenditure fund. If there's any questions on any slides, line items, or on the agenda item, I'd be happy to answer them.
I just had a question in general. So is there, since you're day-to-day, is there anything that you see that could possibly come up that we're not anticipating or?
Not anticipating, obviously any major disaster, but
right.
In the water fund, the litigation with the county, that's one. I know they've built it into their budget for next year, but waiting on what those will be for this
right.
current year
right.
will is something we're waiting on. That would be the yeah. one, yeah.
Yeah, that could be a lot. And then could you go over a little bit what we're getting with the new system?
Yes, so I know it's all new mics. Instead of a projector over here, it would be a screen behind everyone so everyone doesn't have to move their seats. The board members wouldn't have to turn around. We're gonna put screens here, small ones, so that if there's any presentation, it's in front of you. I know we're gonna have a mic that we can walk around for workshops, so people don't always have to go to the podium, and if someone can't make it to the podium. And off the top of my head, those are the big ones, or at least those are the ones I'm most excited about.
Yeah. I know, that'll be good.
Yeah.
And then we won't have all the cords stitched over anymore?
Yes. Everything will be mounted, and there'll be our cameras, not AGP. As you know, AGP brings in all these, and it would be built in here, and more AGP will just come and plug in and be here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
It'll be all cleaner, nice.
Yes. Less time to set up.
Okay. Does the board have any more questions?
No.
None?
This way, yeah.
Okay, let's go to public comment on this and see what kind of recommendations they have. Okay, no one wants to make a comment. Okay, we'll bring it back to the board. And so what are you looking for here, Carrie?
Today is just more of an informational thing.
Okay, so.
Yeah, there's no budget adjustments proposed for this item.
So mainly file and receive.
Yes,
and,
please.
Okay. Okay, I think we're good then.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, okay. Okay, we'll close that business item and move to item C. Ms. Cassiola.
Thank you. President Gibson, members of the board, in item 8C, today we are going to review the next year. So this is the budget starting in July 1st through June 30th, 2027. This is a draft budget. I'm looking for comments, any directions, so that when we come back on June 10th, tonight we're going to set June 10th as our public hearing for the preliminary budget for that year. So with that, we have a quick slideshow. All right. So for this workshop, we're going to review the revenues and expenditures, the difference from the one we just reviewed, so fiscal year 2025-2026, and we're going to review any significant items that are different from last year. And just so you know, we're going to review it again in June, and then we do it again in August. So we will see this two more times before it's finalized.
Yeah.
All right, our first general fund is the administration fund. So here is where we collect our property taxes. And as you guys know, last year we divested. So now we're only receiving 3.85%. And that 3.85% brings us to about $63,000. And so that no real change there for revenues. Under expenditures in this budget, from last year, we're increasing $56,000, which is about 3.9%. Items that are going to be different from last year are the salaries and wages. They're increasing by 3.4%, and that's based off the district's MOU with the labor union. There's also increases to health insurance. That's going up as well. And then there's also a line item for the election that's coming up in November. So those are the main differences there. And as you know, the administration budget is then passed down to the others based on percentages. Staff has recommended we keep that those allocations the same. So as a reminder, lighting gets 1%, parks and rec gets another 1%, facilities gets 1.5, water gets 60, wastewater gets 32.5, and solid waste would then get 4% of all those costs. I put the fire fund, even though we don't really have it, but it's just showing we used to pay for it, so you'll see that's the only change there. It's zero for next year. We have no CalPERS to have to pay off or anything for next year, so we'll be zero, so 100% change. Lighting. The difference between last year is about $2,377, which is about, it's very small there. You can see it's a less than 1%. Basically just increased everything by about a little bit, and that includes operating expenses and admin allocation and everything under those line items. Parks and Rec Fund. The Parks and Rec Fund was presented at our last meeting. We also did the next year budget with OPARC at their May 5th meeting. It's basically an increase of $903 total, which was about $17,000 as Director Villa reported for a total budget, which includes a line item activity for activities and the administration budget. Line item for activities is a little over $4,000 for them. the facilities budget. So the revenues in the facilities fund included in this budget now includes where we pay for the $17,000 for the sheriff's station. So we included it this year. We didn't have it last year. We didn't understand that, or it was worked out basically in the middle of last year that we would be in charge. But the revenues basically match the expenditures there. So that's the big difference there. And we'll also still collect our rent that we receive at Village Group down at the old fire station. And then very minimal increases to maintenance on facilities lines there. But you can see the big difference is because we've included the $17,000 that we're in charge of over at the sheriff's building. All right, our first enterprise fund is the water fund. So revenues are projected to increase by 8%, and that's based off the rate increase that we approved back in June. So that's where you see that 8%. And then under expenditures, the big item that changed there is that the water rate study that we put together that we adopted for the rate increase included $265,000 for capital projects. So that'll be used for, you know, the water resource reliability program. It can also be used for any other CIP projects like the valves that come up. So that line item has increased to $265,000, which is more than we normally put in there. Another line item that has increased is the Lopez line, and as we spoke earlier, it's based off the litigation, and we just want to make sure we have a buffer there so that we can pay for the Habitat Conservation Plan. Sorry. So that's why there's an increase there. The wastewater. Wastewater revenues are projected to increase a lot more, and this is based off the rate study we did at that June 11th. This time it's going to increase by about 60%. It's going from $38 bimonthly to about $63. Wow. So you'll see there's a large increase, but the rate study that we did with HDR includes $330,000 for our capital improvements. We've never really included CIP in the wastewater before, and that's also going to be working towards your sanitary sewer capital improvement plan that you guys adopted back in June. So there's a long list, and we plan to use that 330 towards those projects. The solid waste budget. So the revenues here you see they're increasing. That's for two reasons. Our franchise fees that we collect from the garbage company are going up. Also, the South County Sanitation Sanitary Services, they're increasing by 5% as well. So that's where the main increases are there. And then under expenditures, everything's pretty much the same except for our, I added enough money, so like $11,000 for two trash cans in case two other community groups come again and want to do the Adopt-A-Can program. So we're putting money in there for that program. And then the equipment fund, here is where we pay for our fuel and maintenance of all of our vehicles, and it's going up very minimal, about 4%. So with that, I'd be happy to take any questions and also take notes on any things you'd like to change, add, subtract, and give me any direction so that when we come back on June 11th, we'll have a preliminary budget ready for your adoption. Also know on June 11th, you can still make changes, but we'll, if there's any big ones, we can make those before that meeting.
So I think I got behind, but how much is allowed for the lawsuit?
I've added $61,000 to our budget. Do know that the budget that the Zone 3 sent us, that one includes about $500,000, and that's for all agencies to pay. But I'm giving us a buffer just because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah. Okay.
That's coming out of our enterprise, right?
That's coming out of your water fund. Yep, enterprise.
Okay. Well, it's good to know that we have money in there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're lucky. It could be much worse. So I think that's my only question for right now. So we see it again. And just file and receive.
Or any direction you would like me to, if you want to see the same one on June 11th, then that's what I'll bring back. If there's any changes, happy to make them.
Anyone have any changes?
No.
I think we got to do public comment.
Okay. Oh, okay, sorry.
Really quick, Carrie, June 11th is a Thursday?
June 10th.
June 10th.
Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, so I think continue with what you've started and we'll be good. Okay. We have any more public comments on the budget? All right. Bring it back to the board, and I think we're ready to move on. Okay, and hearing item.
Good evening, President and Board. This item is a consideration of a relief on application pursuant to Order 6.06.030, submitted by Paul Mistoff regarding local utility bills for the Wilmar Glen project that we have on the way. This is a continued hearing from your April 8th, 2026 board meeting. Miskoff and Cabrillo Port Construction Company are the developer of Wilmar Glen development on the way, a private drive of 2400 block of the Wilmar Avenue in Oceana. The development consists of 14 new single-family residences. Mr. Miskoff has filed a relief on application pursuant to District Code 6.06.030. This section allows the board to grant relief from any provision of the ordinance that is unjust or inequitable as applied to his or her premises. So this position is that in April 2025, he was seeking a final sign-off from the county and needed a final real estate letter from the district for all 14 single-family residential homes that were being built. In response, the district staff advised Mr. Miskoff that a final will serve letter could only be issued after water meters were installed. Mr. Miskoff's position is that the intent to serve letter only required for payment of fees before the district would issue a final will serve letter. Mr. Miskoff alleges that after attempting to resolve the issue, he decided to have the meters installed, leading him to close the accounts and avoid monthly water and sewer charges. This is for council's position and staff's position that the application should be denied based on the sequence of events that occurred during this project and due to the district's actions were not unjust or unequitable as applied to Mr. Miskoff. So therefore, it does not apply under our ordinance. It's the council's position and staff's position. The facts and circumstances that support staff's position are as follows. In November 2022, Mr. Miskoff received an intent to serve letter from the district. An intent to serve letter is typically issued very early in the process, in the planning process, and confirms that the district has capacity to serve the proposed development. The county requires an intent to serve letter before land use approvals, tentative maps, or the acceptance of building permits applications. Intent to serve letter is only a preliminary statement of capacity to serve. It is not a guarantee of service terms. It does not create a vested right, and the project remains subject to the rules, regulations, policies, fees, and ordinance of the district. The intent to serve letter issued, Mr. Baskoff states that fees must be paid before a final will serve letter is issued. Lot fees were paid in June 2023 and in February 2024. So at that time in 2024, since he paid his fees, he was capable then of ordering the meters because that's the first thing that needs to be done after paying the fees. Mm-hmm. In April 2024, Mr. Biscoff requested installation of a water meter at one of the lots at 1452 Ronald Way. Pursuant to district ordinance, water and sewer billing began effective April 23rd, 2024, same month. That meter in. After that water meter was installed in April at that location, the rough inspection occurred there in June of 2025, probably a couple months after. A rough inspection includes the inspection of the plumbing. It's important to understand that the water meter does not need to be improved. permanently installed for rust plumbing inspection. Instead, the system can be pressurized using water or air to check for leaks. This allows water meters to be installed much later in the construction process and closer to final inspection. Final inspection and permit for this property was not issued until January 20th, 2026. Therefore, for Ronald 142, for 1452 Ronald Way, when his first home, Mr. Biscoff offers no explanation of why he would be entitled to a refund since he requested the meter installation a year before requesting the final will serve letter and getting final approval from the county. In addition, Mr. Biscoff is seeking a refund even though he could have delayed installation of the water meter until January of 2026 without incurring any monthly charges. Finally, based on the concession records at this meter, district believes this water meter was used for construction purposes for multiple lots. This sequence of events supports denial of the application for 1452 as there is nothing unjust or inequitable that applies to Mr. Biscoff that requires relief pursuant to district code. The next sequence of events started in December, approximately 8 months after that first meter was requested. He then requested meters at six of the 1401, 1404, 1417, 1420, 1433, and 1449 along the way. None of these lots are part of his request for a refund, but the sequence of events is important. As part of his request for the meters at the six lots, Mr. Biscoff also questioned sewer charges at that very first lot, 1452, because no one was living there. District staff responded and informed him that month of December, that water and sewer charges apply once a meter is installed and cannot be temporarily stopped or waived. Knowing that billing becomes effective immediately upon meter installation, Mr. Biscoff requested installation of those six meters and billing became effective in December 2024. Mr. Biscoff paid the water and sewer for those six homes, four of those.
For four of those, I'm not sure there's a difference. Now it's on. All right. Well, it's red. So for four of those meters, of those six, those were homes that he paid for until they were sold in June of October of those years. So meters were installed in December. He paid for those until they were sold. And then, of course, they're changed over to the new owner and are not part of the claim. The other two properties are not part of the claim, but they remain unsold, and he continues to pay the charges, and they are not part of his claim, which is unexplained. Important for all of these six homes, though, is that county inspection occurred before meter installation. This sequence of events indicates Mr. Biscoff understood that rough plumbing inspections can occur without permanent meters and was also aware that the billing occurred immediately after the installation of water meters. The next sequence event was in March of 2025. He requested installation of water meters at 1497 and 1498 Ronald Way. Both meters were installed at his request and billing became effective shortly thereafter on March 27th. Of these two homes, 1497 is included in his refund claim, but 1498 is not, without any explanation of why one should be included and one should not. County records indicate that final inspection and permits have not even been issued for these two homes. So in other words, he could still not have meters there and he wouldn't be charged if he hadn't asked for those meters because there's been no final inspection or final permits issued on those two. He offers no explanation of why he would be entitled to refunds since the meters installation was requested before the final will serve letter was issued, which occurred a month after that March 2025 request. This sequence of events supports denial of the application for 1497 as there is nothing unjust or inequitable that applies to Mr. Biscoff that requires relief pursuant to district code. The next sequence of events is in April of 2025. He requested that the district issue a final will serve letter for all 14 single-family residences. A final will serve letter confirms that all conditions, fees, and requirements have been met. It is typically issued near project completion and close to the time when final inspection and permitting is done by the county. It is widely known and followed policy practice among the water and sewer districts to require meter installation before issuance of a final will serve letter. Based on district's policy, staff advised Mr. Biscoff that in order to issue final will serve letters for all 14 residents, water meters would need to be installed on the remaining five lots at 1436, 1465, 1468, 1481, and 1484. All five of these lots are part of his claim for relief. Mr. Biscoff responded that the intent to serve letter was required only payment of fees, and the district was required to issue final will serves because he had paid the fees. Mr. Biscoff's position is that after attempting to resolve the issue without progress, he decided the remaining five meters installed and billing became effective April 22nd, 2025, shortly after request and were installed. Of these five homes, and as of May 13th, only 1436 Ronald Way has obtained a county final inspection and permit. Accordingly, Mr. Biscoff's April 25 claim that the final will serve letters were needed to obtain final clearance from county for all 14 homes is inaccurate. Mr. Biscoff gives no explanation as to why he did not instead request final will serve letters for only the homes that had passed the inspections, were close to being finalized, and being sold in that first year. This sequence of events supports denial of the application for all five of these homes, as there is nothing unjust or inequitable that applies to Mr. Biscoff that requires relief pursuant to this district code. In June 2025, he requested the district stop utility billings for these seven accounts, or actually more than that, but he reduced it because the homes were still under construction. District staff advised that billing begins once meters are installed and can't be temporarily stopped or waived pursuant to the district code. Staff further advised that if a meter is pulled, a new meter fee would be assessed to reinstall the meter. In February 26th, 7 months later, he filed for this relief for application. It's staff's position as a developer, Mr. Biscoff is responsible for understanding the requirements applicable to his project. He provides no explanation as to why he requested water meters at homes that still had not received or were not even close to final inspection or permits from the county, and has failed to establish there is anything that is unjust or inequitable as applied to him. These same requirements apply to all other developers. If the board decides to not accept staff's recommendation, the request of relief would result in an issuance of check in the amount of $5,287.63, reflecting amounts already paid for the disputed billing periods, and a billing credit of $773.75 for the billing cycle of January 26 through March 26. I'm here to answer any questions, and staff is also. The board should open the hearing for the public comment, then close the public comment, and return to the board for deliberation and a decision. And I know those dates are kind of confusing for all of them, but there are seven properties that are. In a nutshell, there's the first two, which is given no explanation why those are being requested, because they before a final will serve was even requested. And the remaining five are the ones that he wanted to have meters installed, but still four of those have not even received final permits from the county.
Yes, and I think that we all remember the lengthy questions and answers that we conducted with Mr. Biscoff. So reading this again helps me remember everything.
Thank you for the thorough, lengthy report.
Do you have any quick comments before we go to public comment? Okay. All right, then we'll close the board for right now, and we'll open for public comment. So So anyone wishing to speak on this issue can come up.
Should I go first?
Whoever's there first.
What time?
3 minutes.
My name is Paul Bischoff. I am the petitioner, and I live in Arroyo Grande. And I could respond to all that, and I intend to. But this philosophical question that we have, I feel really, really sad about this. And I'll tell you why. That I, in my personal life, I really feel like I do a good job of collaboration and communication and discussion and you know, lots of moving parts in what I do. And Mr. Schultz didn't reach out to me even once with any questions. And the tone that he used, the accusatory tone, used multiple times, he said that that I made no explanation about certain things. That's kind of depressing in the regard that I was available by email, by phone. I emailed him because he reached out to me to make sure that I was able to, you know, the documentation for the board to be able to review to make sure he had the right documentation. So to ask for that and then have this very extensive curiosity about the details and then not ask even one question and then make the presumption that I have no explanation, that I made no effort to explain it, when nearly everything he talked about we already talked about in the last meeting. So I'll do my best. I feel like in the past, I've other hearings, the applicant gets a lot more than 3 minutes, and I would hope that you would honor me in that regard and not cut me off at 3 minutes. But yeah, that's the big question. We're not in San Francisco. We're not in, you know, Los Angeles. Yeah, we're in Oceano. Like, we're all community members here. We're all, it's a small community, and yeah, I hope that that thought rings true to you guys. So the big picture is, you know, what we talked about last time. I hate to say that all that is subterfuge, but it kind of is, because all we're talking about here is, and like I mentioned last meeting, can a member of the public receive a letter from the Oceano Community Services District and have it have weight? Where if a staff member says something in a letter, can that member of the public rely on that letter? And Mr. Schultz talked about, he used the terms typically and widely known about the requirements to get a will serve letter and an intent to serve letter and that kind of thing. I have been a builder for 24 years. I'm familiar with the requirements. May I keep going?
I'll give you 3 more minutes.
Okay.
And then we're
so I'll giddy up. Thank you very much for that. He talked about rough inspections and the timing with you know, this would have been a great, all these questions would have been great to handle over email. This, you know, it's unfortunate that I'm gonna be nervous and I'm gonna miss something. And so I would implore you in the future, a circumstance like this, ask staff to reach out and take care of these questions ahead of time. That would have been perfectly ideal if we didn't have an adversarial relationship. I very much feel like Mr. Schultz has an adversarial relationship with me. I hope that isn't the case with the board. So talking about timing and rough inspection, yes, that's absolutely correct. I can get a rough inspection. I can get a final inspection without a water meter. I don't need a water meter. So the fact that I didn't have a water meter, again, we come down to the idea, Mr. Schultz got confused about what I was trying to accomplish. The reason that I asked for a will serve letter was because the County Public Works, not the building department, the County Public Works was prepared to sign off on all of our improvements. And there's bond money. We had to bond for improvements. And when you finish the punch list that the Public Works people give you, then they tell the accounting department to return your money. So that's the point where we had done everything that the county required for public works, and what they requested the will serve letter from OCSD. That's why I requested it. Had nothing to do with any of the buildings. This could have happened when all the buildings were complete. It could have happened before any buildings were even started. So that has no bearing on any of that. Really, this is kind of a fruit of the poison tree. You know, we've all seen the cop shows, and the drug addict gets improperly, you know, they broke into his house and they found some stuff that they shouldn't have. They didn't have a warrant. And then everything else that happens after that is not admissible in court. That's exactly what happened here. So I have this letter, and you guys have the copy as well. If this widely known, typically information, you know, I'm responsible for knowing the requirements. The requirement, the allegation is that the requirement is that for me to get a will serve letter, I have to have water meters installed. That's the allegation. It's nowhere in your code. Nowhere in the code says that, in the OCSD code. And that opportunity staff had to put that in the list of requirements on the will serve, the intent to serve letter, definitely was there. So if this widely known information is widely known, it should have been either, probably both, but either in the letter that I received in November of 2022, or it should be in the code somewhere. And if it was in one of those two places, and then I asked for this petition, it would be silly for me to ask, because it would have been part of the record.
Thank you, Mr. Bischoff.
So big picture, that I'm just asking for the letter from staff to be upheld, that I can rely on that. And that's the philosophical question we're asking for. Thank you.
Thank you. Come on up.
Julie Tacker, and I just wanted to appreciate legal counsel's analysis. Curious what that cost, what the cost of last meeting was, where we discussed this for probably an hour, the cost to staff to have their back and forth over the several years, and if take that into consideration, the amount of time that the district has spent trying to explain this is the process, and you used it and incurred bills that are necessary to pay, and no refund should be given. Certainly now that you've spent more money than you got. So
thank you for your comment.
Yeah, Carrie Langford, and gee, what a meeting it'd be if I didn't have something to say. But sir, I've been in your shoes long before. I spent about 50 years in the construction business and doing buildings and all. And first of all, I'd say in Mr. Schultz's defense, in a sort, is that he's an attorney, and we know what that means. And he's doing his job. And secondly is that if he were to keep on reaching out to you, he's going to charge Oceano for his time. And secondly, the building codes and the way building departments and development or community departments work is very confusing. I've lost money that I thought I was going to not incur, and because of something just like you're doing, and you were trying to help yourself, and as far as getting things like your finals or your permits written off, you missed something along the line, and it's just part of what we sort of incurred And I know in all my bids or all the time that I was dealing with the banks, you know, I'd always have contingency fees in there because I knew I was going to forget something or something was going to happen. And I understand where you're coming from. It'd be nice. And I'm not saying yes or no in either way. I'm just saying I sort of understand. But that's sort of the way sometimes the ball bounces, as nasty of a reply as that is. And that, what are you going to do? You know, it's just something that we dealt with and that we learned. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you for your comment. Anyone else? Seeing no one else, we'll bring it back for the back to the board for discussion. And do you have anything down here to say?
I just don't, myself, I don't understand why you reached out to OCSD when the meters are installed, I believe, by the county or approved.
No, they're installed by us.
Yeah, but the approval process.
So to obtain it, though, they do need to contact us, uh-huh. And we install the meters. That's part of the fee that he pays at the beginning when he gets the intent to serve letter.
But the county does check on
it. But then they everything. Do all the rough inspections, all the plumbing inspections, and it's up to the developer to determine when he wants to have those meters installed. And in this case, they were installed earlier on in the process because whether it was bonding or whatever it was, that's not part of our issue. And the other comments I would make is by saying there was no explanation given, I meant that's he had the obligation to submit his application for this relief. That's his opportunity to present all the evidence that's needed for a hearing of this nature. It's not my duty or it's not staff's responsibility to go through that and try to determine what the explanations are. So I was just pointing out that in his application for this relief, he gives no explanation as to why some are included and some aren't. The other item I would mention, which I mentioned early, the intent to serve is a preliminary document. It's not a vested right. It's not like obtaining a tentative map. It's not like obtaining conditions of approval. It's just that, a preliminary statement. And that all applicants, and this goes back to when you give relief for this, it's because he's been unjust or inequitably differentiated from any other developer. And in this case, he's not. He's being just as any other developer. Once the meters are installed, they have to pay. And so that's the position of the district. And you know, staff's here. We many a times, this isn't the first project that's ever come through the district. It is the first time we've had anybody with this argument.
Did you not know that, or?
Public comment time has changed, yeah. So it's yeah. we're not going to reopen the public
it's
hearing.
So yeah. The board can reopen public comment. You don't let him bully
he's absolutely right. If you would like to open totally up the public enough. Comment period again, you can. You'll have to do it for everybody, not just the applicant.
Okay. I just want that question answered. Why is it that you, as a person who does this, develops, does not know the rules?
Okay. My name is Paul Bischoff. I live in Arroyo Grande. Please clarify the question.
Why did you not think that you had to pay once the meter was installed?
So that is a very good nuanced question. I did ask for the meters to be installed. My reason for having those meters installed, I do have an email because I understood the idea that once I had the meters installed, then I'd have the base rate that I'd have to pay every month. And we weren't even close to being done with a lot of the houses. So my desire was to get the will serve letter from the from OCSD without having those meters installed. And my understanding was that the intent to serve letter that I received, which is attachment number one in the package that I provided, it said it went, it took great pains, it went through a lot of pains to point out the fact that the list of requirements in that intent to serve letter were the list of requirements that I would need to fulfill before I would be able to get a will serve letter. So it had a list, and the list comprises one item. I had to pay the fees. So my position is that if OCSD required water meters to be installed to get a final will serve letter, it either should be in the code somewhere, that statement, we will not provide a final will serve letter before water meters are installed. It should be in the code somewhere. Or alternatively, it could have been in this list of requirements. If the intent to serve letter had that as one of the list of requirements, then again, I'd have no discussion, no argument, because it was one of the requirements. So moving forward, I was desiring to get my final sign off from the Public Works Department, the County Public Works Department. And they said, we need a will serve letter from you from OCSD. So, okay, excellent. So I went back to this intent to serve letter, and I saw that the one requirement was to pay the fees. Well, I had already paid the fees. I'd paid the fees several months before. So I said, hey, may I have a will serve letter? I've paid the fees, that's the one requirement. And I was told, no, you have to install water meters as well. That was an additional requirement that I feel is unjust, because it was never stated to me that that was a requirement. So I think that I'm happy that Mr. Schultz mentioned that. The whole idea of inequity is that if I was treated unfairly, well, I believe I was treated unfairly because the requirement was not listed in that intent to serve letter.
That, okay, thank you.
That
thank
requirement you, should have been in thank the intent you. To serve letter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Not treated unfairly because everybody else pays the same.
Right.
Okay.
It's in the letter.
So basically for me, the way I see it is the meters were installed, you used the water, you need to pay it. I don't have a consideration to or recommend that we give him relief for this application for that amount of money. The meters were installed, the water was used, period, based on the council and staff recommendations. I just see that.
So you want to or don't want
no,
to?
No, I do not want to approve the
You're
application.
Saying,
I do not want to approve the application for relief.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I think the thing is that, you know, all of these pages, that there was misunderstanding. But I don't see where the district did anything improper. I mean, they give the same information to everyone. And, you know, if the payment isn't received or whatever, or there's a confusion about it, then that's really up to you as an individual to find out what is correct or not correct. So we can't, you know, the district cannot follow people around and make sure they understand, you know, what they're doing. That's not our job. So, okay. Director Villa?
After hearing your explanation, maybe you were confused, maybe it was miscommunication, maybe we needed to have it worded differently or whatever, but I don't feel you were treated unfairly because every other developer has to pay that. So I would say you're treated unfairly if you are being charged for something that nobody else is. You understand what I mean? So I just don't think it's valid. Sorry. You shouldn't feel ripped off or treated unfairly. You should feel like maybe they need to do a better job of explaining it on the OCSD website, or the county does, or whatever. But I wouldn't feel treated unfairly, and I always make the decisions on how I see fairness. So that's my position.
Thank you, Director. Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yeah, I have to agree with Director Villa. It did seem like it was a very unfortunate misunderstanding. And I do see why you got confused. And yes, I do agree that that should have been more clearly explained. However, like Director Rose said, every other contractor has had to go through the same process, and we're not being, it would be unfair for us to give you a...
It would be unfair to everybody else.
Yeah.
And not only that, but you should also take into consideration, you probably did use some of that water. I don't know, but...
Okay, so I will entertain a motion.
I move that we reject the applicant's relief petition.
Okay.
A second.
We have a first and a second. Roll call.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Vice President Rose?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
And President Gibson?
Yes. Okay, so written communications?
We received one, and it's been attached to your agenda item from Melissa Sparling.
At the end. Well, I think this letter is accurate.
Do we need to do anything with it? Mm-hmm. Do we have to do anything with it? I mean, no. I read it before the meeting, so.
Yeah. Future agenda items? None.
No.
Closed session, none. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
A motion that we adjourn the meeting?
Second. Adjourn.
He still thinks he did. After all that.